time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, nice to have you aboard. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston. As Team Europe leads 9.5 to 2.5 as we are midway through the Saturday afternoon matches. Charlie, when you look at what has occurred over the last 3 days, over the first three sessions, what have been your thoughts here for the Ryder Cup this year?
Hey, Will.
Hey, Charlie, you got me?
Yeah, but there was somebody.
Charlie, you're on air. You're up 9.5 to 2.5. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Now we got the line squared away. Yes, it's a very interesting sports event that we have here. The typical match play saga, you might say. The European team just started off wonderfully, making everything, getting every break. But it seems like the worm has turned a little today. We're ahead in three matches and only one is behind. And if we clear the table today and win all four, it's game on tomorrow for the match play.
Now, Charlie, you know, you can make a lot of what the captains have done, but really the fact is Team Europe has just flat out outplayed the Americans. Would you agree with that?
Well, sure. I mean, they've made more putts. They've had more chip-ins. They've had everything going their way. You know what golf is. Golf is momentum, and some days are better than others, but you can't keep that up all the time, and it's showing this afternoon that the ice is about to break, and the guys are fighting hard. I mean, they haven't given up. You know, whether we win or lose, it's going to be a great Sunday of match play golf.
Now, Charlie, you're up at Inverness. I'm down here at Whispering Pines. Granted, a little bit of connection stuff that we were dealing with to start the show. But how are things up at Inverness? How's your week been up there?
You know, it's been a great, great week of golf, of two great golf courses, a course with history. Inverness has been host to U.S. Opens, PGAs, the U.S. Amateur, the Solheim Cup. So it was a great, great golf course to bring up some guests of Jimmy Irwin's and mine and friends, and we played golf there, and then we motored up to Detroit, the Motor City, and we played a beautiful golf course, Oakland Hills, which regretfully 2 years ago the clubhouse burnt down. They're just getting now ready to rebuild it. And it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be just identical to what burned down, but better made. And then they're going to host the U.S. Juniors next year. So it's a golf course that has had a lot of tradition. The famous Ryder Cup, when Hal Underwood put Nick Tiger Woods and Mickelson together, that was a big faux pas. So it's fun, but it's exciting watching this Ryder Cup.
Yeah, 2004 Oakland Hills was a similar disaster, Charlie. 18.5 to 9.5, the Americans lost there. It's great to hear that Oakland Hills clubhouse is back in full force. But back to Inverness, Charlie, for listeners that don't know, this is a place that's been a huge part of your life, dating back to your early days as a professional golfer.
Well, yes, even as a college golfer, I went to University of Toledo and was a special member at Inverness and got to know that culture, and then they really expanded my life. And Herman Lang, who was the golf pro, he encouraged me to stay in the game and play and become a golf pro, and he helped me get the assistant job when I was in the Army at Fort Sill. He was a wonderful man, a great role model.
Okay, Greg Frank here as the producer, as it looks like we lost Will on his remote connection. Charlie, just take us through a little bit about your history with the Ryder Cup and what this event means for golf.
Well, the Ryder Cup is the Super Bowl of world golf, you might say, and it started in the 20s and it grew with the game. President Bush's father gave out the Ryder Cup, and it became very, very popular across the sea. The professionals would ride the Queen Mary to come to the United States and play, and it's just grown. And now with the growth of golf since COVID, there's just thousands of people, and to see it, this event played in Rome, Italy, which, the sport there in that city, of course, is soccer, or we know it's football, and to see the people come out in droves, it's just a wonderful display on how popular golf has gotten.
What do you know about that golf course that they're playing on in Rome? How does it play?
The only thing I know about it was made specifically for this kind of event, and it's a wonderful match play event, and it has all the shots, all the drama. It's very well designed. The players like it, and the public has a great view. They have mounds all behind the greens. It's a great spectator sport. They have a stand that seats 5,000 people on the first tee. I mean, that's never been done in the history of the Ryder Cup, and so that's just added to the enjoyment of golf for the thousands of people that have gone to witness this great event, and they see it in an amphitheater type of deal. But it's also a great challenging golf course for the players to hit great shots, as we're seeing.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and the Sports Map Radio Network. Charlie, we have a question come in from Luke in Humble. He wants to know what your thoughts have been on Marco Simeone. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes.
Is it really that tough for a player to go all five matches around this golf course?
Yes, it is. It's a very trying golf course physically, ups and downs, and then the pressure of the event. Can you imagine how tired the football players would be if they had 4 days of competition, one after another? This is that type of an event where it's a week long build up, and it takes it out of the players, even though they're in great shape, but four rounds of golf and walking the hills and having the pressure of a championship like this, the players, next week they're going to have to sleep all week long.
What do you think have been some of the biggest contributors to Europe just outplaying the United States so far?
Well, it's the growth of the game, and I don't have the exact count, but most of those the new golfers have all gone to college in the United States on golf scholarships and have learned how to play over here. Hovland won the U.S. Amateur. He played at Oklahoma State. He learned to play with great instruction. And so it's a universal game that we're playing. But the bottom line is Everybody's playing for their country, and the Europeans are very proud, and they're really defending their flag quite well.
Yeah, and it feels like that kind of level of patriotism is always on display in this event too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's the Ryder Cup is all about playing for your country, and it's a team that everybody wants to make. And play, and you can see the enthusiasm that the players have for this game.
What do you think the future of this event holds, just in terms of, every 2 years, it's always such a big festival and fanfare, and players really love it. Like, where do you think this event's going the next decade?
Well, hopefully, Greg, it's going to keep growing, but, professional golf is in a little quagmire right now with the LIV situation, and they got to work that out in the lawsuits and so on and so forth. And right now, the Ryder Cup is actually owned by the PGA of America and the European PGA. It's not a tour event, so they're going to have, there's a lot of politics and things they're going to have to work out. Like, it's sport and everything is always in a turmoil, and although they're making lots of money, people aren't happy because of certain things. So we got to see how this settles out by the end of this year, how the two associations and professional golf is going to live together.
Charlie, quickly, let's get a word in from Insperity before we hit the break.
Well, Insperity is just a company that's just so – it's a marvelous example of knowing how to take care of people that will make your business grow. And Insperity is an HR company that really prides itself in taking care of people. Not only its employees, but their most important product are the small business owners of the United States. And they help them grow their business. They help them with HR. They bring value to the table. And so if you're a small business and you want to grow your business and you're listening to our show, give Insperity a call. Log on to Insperity.com, and I guarantee you, you'll be very happy with what you find out.
There's Charlie Epps. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We got Will Doctor back. He'll join us again to take things back from me on the other side. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio and ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, we have the connection all buttoned up. Me, Will Doctor, and Charlie Epps taking you through the hour as Europe leads the Ryder Cup 9.5 to 2.5. Europe needs 14.5 points to win the cup. Obviously,
well, I can't hear you.
The United States currently holds the Ryder Cup as they won the last one at Whistling Straits. We saw last week the Solheim Cup end in a tie on paper, but since Europe had won the last Solheim Cup, they retain the cup. Charlie, great to be back with you as you're in Inverness. I'm at Whispering Pines, different sectors of the country today, but we're together watching the Ryder Cup as the United States takes a beating here, but coming back late in four balls. Charlie, you with me?
Yeah,
all right, we'll get Charlie Epps, but yes, we will get Charlie Epps back very shortly. Looking through what's going on in the Saturday afternoon four balls, Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa are four up on Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg. Sam Burns has been the center to a ton of controversy this week. You know, he was first off the box back on Friday morning with Scottie Scheffler. First off, there was, a ton of media and critics who thought maybe Sam Burns shouldn't have even made the team with the way he's been playing since March. You had guys like Keegan Bradley. You had guys like Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Lucas Glover playing some incredible golf, not make this team. Zach Johnson decided to go with someone who a little bit closer to his best player, Scottie Scheffler's age. The two of them are good friends, so he rolled the dice on Burns. And at least up until Saturday afternoon, that little test has not panned out. Burns and Scheffler got steamrolled Friday morning by John Rahm and Tyrell Hatton, 4-3. And now we see Burns back out there again on Saturday afternoon, playing much better alongside a Colin Morikawa, who is also playing some very solid golf this week. So they are four up on Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg, who have been just a continental European matchup from the heavens. I mean, in case you missed overnight, what Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg did to Scottie Scheffler and Brooks Koepka in the Saturday morning foursomes, what a bloodbath. I mean, 9-7, Scheffler and Koepka lost to Hovland and Åberg this morning. The match was over on the 13th hole. I'm not sure I've ever seen a Ryder Cup match, I've never seen a blowout that big. And Hovland and Åberg, two young guys, obviously Hovland playing the best golf of his life. Ludvig Åberg, you know, this is a Swede who is just walking on a dream right now. You know, he was only, when you look back a year ago today, Ludvig Åberg was in Lubbock, Texas, at Texas Tech, getting ready for the college golf season. You look back to last spring and Aberg's final semester at Tech, he wins four times. He wins the Big 12 match play, and then he turns pro. It wins the BMW Championship, has a great spring season on the PGA Tour, retains his card, and then he finds a way to make Luke Donald's European Ryder Cup team, and he's been brilliant so far. They've put him alongside Hovland. They've put Åberg. Who else did he go out with? The first match, yeah, he's been out with Hovland twice. He went on Hovland in the Friday morning foursomes and beat Max Homa and Brian Harman 4-3. Luke Donald sends them back out there, Hovland and Åberg, on Saturday morning against really the best two players on Team USA. I mean, Scottie Scheffler and Brooks Koepka. These two are the powerhouses for Team USA, and they got absolutely steamrolled by Hovland and Åberg 9-7. So that was the second match of the morning. The one shining light for Team USA for Saturday morning foursomes was Max Homa and Brian Harman. They beat Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka 4-2. I thought, I would prefer, that was Homa and Harmon's second match of the week. They went off against, they played together in Friday morning foursomes. Like I said, against Hovland and Åberg, got absolutely crushed there in day one, but they came back in the Saturday morning foursomes. They were the only two, Max Homa and Brian Harman, to win a match this morning. They beat Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka 4-2. And then in the final match of the morning, John Rahm and Tyrell Hatton, who have seemingly just been an impossible duo to beat, they took down Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele 2-1. Now, after the Saturday morning foursomes, a little bit of information emerged from Jamie Weir of Sky Sports, very trustable source. And according to Jamie Weir, this is word for word from his tweet, he understands from several sources that the U.S. team room is fractured, and it is a split led predominantly by Patrick Cantlay. Cantlay believes players should be paid to participate in the Ryder Cup, and he is demonstrating his frustration at not being paid by refusing to wear a team cap. And this tweet continues, he wore a cap at last year's President's Cup, for which players are paid. Cantlay also refused to attend the gala dinner earlier this week, and along with his close friend Xander Schauffele, is sitting in a separate area of the team dressing room. And finally, before the Ryder Cup, it was widely reported that the same pair, Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, were the ones refusing to allow Netflix camera access to the team room. So, the bottom line is Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele both think they should be paid to compete in the Ryder Cup, and they have lost connection with the rest of the team. They've cut it off. You know, I talked about this last week. Team Europe, you would just never see this from this side. You would never see this from Team Europe. Team Europe is focused on Seve. They're focused on passion. They're focused on legacy. They're focused on respecting the game. And then here on the other side, you have Patrick Cantlay, who's, you know, worried about a couple, you know, making some more money on the Ryder Cup. Now, that's understandable. I will give Cantlay this. You know, the Ryder Cup produces probably the second most amount of money in professional golf next to the Masters. You know, NBC, TV, PGA of America, they're printing money on the Ryder Cup, and the players are not seeing really a dime of it. But they never have. That's never what the Ryder Cup has been about. And I challenge Cantlay. You know, I wonder if the money was such a big issue to Cantlay, and he has to, you know, show a form of taking the other side, not wearing the hat. That's his form of showing that, you know, players that play in the Ryder Cup should be paid. But I don't understand if he thinks he should have been paid, then why is he playing? That's something I can't understand. You have guys at home for the U.S., Dustin Johnson, Keegan Bradley, guys that have been here before that have had success here. Not to say that Cantlay hasn't. He's been a great match play participant over the years, alongside Xander Schauffele, who Xander Schauffele, his game has been deplorable this week. So they haven't had the same success. But, you know, I don't think you could really have a more disturbing narrative and more unhealthy narrative for Team USA this week than one of your players basically protesting by not, you know, communicating with his teammates, not wearing a hat. I don't care about the hat. Team Europe over the years, they don't wear hats either. But why wait until the week of the Ryder Cup to show that you're upset? Why not? He didn't say anything about it in the media. You know, he didn't say, oh, we should be paid for this. He didn't, you know, bring it up when he was selected. But Cantlay is not a rookie. You know, he's now played in a couple Ryder Cups. He's now played in a couple President's Cups. He is a veteran presence, especially with the success that he's had. He is a veteran presence in the team room. And, you know, if he's not, you know, sitting with the team and not communicating with the team alongside Xander Schauffele, there's some insight into one of the issues that the United States is facing. Zach Johnson's decisions are a totally different issue, and we'll talk about that more on the other side. Once again, we'll try to get Charlie back in here. Apologies for the connection issues. Charlie up at Inverness. I'm down at Whispering Pines watching the Ryder Cup. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, before we keep going on the Ryder Cup conversation, a break from the golf to tell you about my friends over at King Ranch Ag and Turf. Tom and Adam Belimovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations, and it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you're a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full service support that you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, their partners are Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one golf club in Texas, and includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. And no matter your situation, Brookside has the deal that you need. New or pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Houston, Spring, Jersey Village, League City, Katy, Southwest Houston. Go see them at one of their 9 locations and visit their website at KingRanchAgAndTurf.com to check out any special deals at King Ranch Ag and Turf. Tell them you heard it here right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN Houston. Once again, that is King Ranch Ag and Turf. And we continue along as the United States, you know, gets clobbered in the Ryder Cup. Europe is up 9.5 to 2.5. Really, you know, there's some turnaround here going on Saturday afternoon in the Saturday afternoon four balls. Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa are 4 up on Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg. And Max Homa and Brian Harman are 4 up through 9 over Tommy Fleetwood and Nikola Hojgaard. And Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are 1 up on Justin Rose and Robert McIntyre. The United States is losing one of these four ball matches as Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark are 1 down through 8 against Matthew Fitzpatrick and Rory McIlroy. Now, to continue on where we were last segment, you know, this has been the United States' performance in Europe. This has been an issue since 1993, and you've probably heard this all week. The United States has not won on European soil since 1993. And really, when you even look at the Ryder Cups that were hosted in the United States since 1993, it hasn't been a good look. I mean, 95, Oakland Hill, we lose a heartbreaker to Europe, 14.5 to 13.5. Of course, 97, we go back to Europe and get beat at Valderrama. You're not beating Seve Ballesteros and Jose Maria Orthabal of Valderrama. We lose that one. We win in 99 at Brookline, which seemed like a Ryder Cup, you know, coming up on the turn of the century. When the United States won in Brookline, you thought, hey, maybe the next 20 years is going to look a little different than the last 10. Because even before 93, you look at the 80s. You know, 85 at the Belfry, Europe wins. 87 at Muirfield, Europe wins. 89 and 91, obviously Belfry and the battle at the Kiawah Island, United States won. But, you know, since maybe the mid-70s, there's really been early 80s. There's been no kind of American domination in this golf tournament when the United States has sported the best golfers on the planet over the last 20 years. Think about it. We had Tiger Woods in his prime, Phil Mickelson in his prime. We got the best years of Jordan Spieth. Brooks Koepka has asserted himself as one of the greatest American golfers to ever play the game. But there's something about when American golfers come together as a team where it just doesn't work. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's kind of the I-first mentality of the American culture, the individual mentality of it. You look at the other side. You look what Luke Donald's doing with his European team. They all come together in the team bus. Their locker room is filled with memorabilia from Seve's days and photos of Team Europe as infants and how they've risen to some of the best golfers on the planet. You look at Team USA's locker room, and it's pretty simple. Maybe a couple flags, a little food spread. But they're really missing that passion and that energy. And that's why, since 2000, this tournament's been all Europe. 2002, Europe wins at the Belfry. 2004, Americans get steamrolled at Oakland Hills. Oakland Hills was embarrassing. You know, that's when they tried to put Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson together in foursomes and four balls, and Tiger ended up going 2-3-0. Phil went 1-3-0 that week. 2006 at the K Club, another massacre as Team Europe beat the United States 18.5 to 9.5. U.S. wins at Valhalla in 08. Europe wins Celtic Manor in 2010, Europe accomplished a huge Sunday comeback at Medina in 2012. Europe went to Glen Eagles 2014. And then 2016-2021 in the States, the Americans won at home. But in between there was La Nacional in 2018 where Europe won at home. So really, Europe has won 9 of the last 13 Ryder Cups. 9 of the last 13 Ryder Cups. And right now, you have the Americans down 9.5 to 2.5 through 3.5 sessions of this golf tournament. Now, some tides are turning here for the Saturday afternoon four balls. Sam Burns and Morikawa just won another hole. They're 5 up over Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg. Max Homa and Brian Harman have maintained their 3 up lead over Tommy Fleetwood and Nicola Hosgaard. Spieth and Thomas still 1 up through 8 over Rose and McIntyre. And Cantlay and Clark are still the one American duo that are down by 1 in these Saturday afternoon four balls. Now, one thing I've noticed when it comes to the differences, once again, we could sit here and blame the captain all day, Zach Johnson. We could. There's been some questionable pairings. He has definitely followed putting players together based on their friendships over following the data, which is frustrating to watch. But it's not all the captain. Number one, Europe's played extremely well. John Rahm, Tyrell Hatton, Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Matthew Fitzpatrick. You know, they have played incredible. You know, McIlroy and Fitzpatrick beat Morikawa and Xander 5-3 in the Friday afternoon four balls. And once again, if you are just joining Ryder Cup coverage, four sums are alternate shot and four balls are two players on the same team playing together. They take the best score at the end of every hole. And, you know, Friday, this came up after Friday afternoon four balls. Rory McIlroy and Matthew Fitzpatrick beat Morikawa and Schauffele 5-3 in that Friday afternoon session. I saw a lot of talking heads going, where's DJ? Where's Dustin Johnson? Where's Bryson DeChambeau? Lucas Glover? Keegan Bradley would have done way better. You can't say that now. I mean, listen, I was there in all my Ryder Cup preview podcasts and all the preview shows that we've done. I was very critical of the captain's picks, the team that Zach Johnson chose. Obviously, Sam Burns did not play well enough to earn a spot in this tournament, but since he's good friends with Scottie Scheffler and Justin Thomas, he made the team. It's as simple as that. There's no other way around it. Zach Johnson will be hearing about that for the rest of time. Because Friday morning, he rolled the dice. He put the two friends together right out of the gate. Show them off. Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns, first off the tee box in Friday morning foursomes against Europe's two best players, John Rahm and Tyrell Hatton. I can only imagine the little pep talk that Zach Johnson gave to Burns and Scheffler before that Friday morning foursomes. Have you guys seen the media? Have you got Zach Johnson? He loves that little underdog mentality. And his story, I respect Zach Johnson's story so much. Went to Drake, was not a highly recruited college player, took the mini tour route, and became a Masters champion and an Open champion. Zach Johnson, incredible player. What a resume over the years. But I would do a lot of things differently if I was in his shoes. We'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
Hey, business owners, have you ever felt like the walls are closing in, that the obstacles to growing your business are overwhelming? We all know running a business comes with pressure and remote workforces, HR compliance, keeping your top employees. There's just no wonder you start to feel boxed in, but you don't have to do it alone. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of experience to work helping you with your human resources, from hiring and training to HR admin and compliance. Add in competitive benefit options for your employees, and you've expanded your HR capabilities. With Insperity, lightening your load, you could focus on growing your business surrounded by employees who are empowered to be their best. Don't let the obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential. Get the relief you need from an HR company that puts you and your employees on a path to success, because with Insperity, nothing seems impossible. And we continue on the golf here on a Saturday morning, keeping you up to date on the Ryder Cup as Team Europe leads the United States 9.5 to 2.5. And a couple changes here. The U.S. now only leads 2 Saturday afternoon 4-ball sessions. Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa are 5 up through 11 on Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg. That match, you know, you never know with Burns. Colin Morikawa has played very well this week. 5 up through 11, that match looks like the U.S. is going to get another point on the board there. Max Homa and Brian Harman are 3 up through 10 on Tommy Fleetwood and Nicola Hojgaard. And the match that's changed is the Thomas Spieth versus Rose and McIntyre match. That match is now all square through 9. Rose and McIntyre made a birdie on 9. That match is now all square. And Fitzpatrick and McIlroy still lead Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark by 1. Looking at where the Europeans have done most of their damage, well, they swept Friday morning foursomes. We'll start there. Friday afternoon, they halved 3 of the 4 matches, and in that one match that was not halved, McIlroy and Fitzpatrick bulldozed Morikawa and Schauffele 5-3. So really, still, you know, the United States has not gained any sort of momentum after Friday. Saturday morning, I mean, once again, Saturday morning foursomes, the Europeans beat the Americans in 3 of those 4 matches on Saturday morning in the foursomes. And then Saturday afternoon, here we are, you know, as the United States is ahead in 2 of the 4 matches. But basically, for the United States to have any sort of chance tomorrow morning, they need to win all 4 of these Saturday afternoon 4-ball matches. That's the bottom line. And, you know, reviewing what my predictions were before this Ryder Cup, I was on Team Europe 5 weeks ago. And, you know, normally if I picked Europe in anything, whether we're talking tennis for the Davis Cup, whether we're talking the Solheim Cup, usually it doesn't feel good to pick Europe. You know, I'm from Houston, Texas, you know, born and raised, true American at heart. But you had to see right through this. You had to know this was coming for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's in Europe. And the United States has never proven that they can go across the pond and beat Europe on their home turf. They just haven't. And number two, were these two rosters. You know, to me, Europe has the way more elite roster this year. Their top three in Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, and Jon Rahm is the best big three for Team Europe since really the mid-90s, since Colin Montgomery, Bernhard Langer, and Nick Faldo and Seve Ballesteros were kind of running the party for Team Europe. It's been that long. Of course, Europe has had their stalwarts over the years. Sergio Garcia and Lee Westwood were a wonderful pairing Ian Poulter was, you know, a nightmare for the Americans in the Ryder Cup. Padraig, Harrington, Darren Clark, great European Ryder Cup players. But I digress. The point is Europe has the better top three to sport in Roy McIlroy, Victor Hovland, and John Rahm. You know, the Americans' big three this year were Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, and Patrick Cantlay. And if you've listened to the entire show today, that tells the whole story. Scottie Scheffler is a wonderful leader. He could be the backbone to this American team with Justin Thomas here over the next couple years. But in case you missed the first segment, it was reported last night by Jamie Weir of Sky Sports that the U.S. team room is fractured. And it's a split led predominantly by Patrick Cantlay. When one of your star players, when one of your leaders, when one of your players who has had success in past President's Cups and Ryder Cups, and he's the one leading the split because he believes that players should be paid to participate in the Ryder Cup. Imagine what that does for the rest of the team. Imagine sitting there watching Patrick Cantlay in the team room refusing to attend the gala dinner, refusing to sit in the same team dressing area, and then Zach Johnson continuing to play him. I think that's shocking. You know, there's a time and a place to do that. And it seems like waiting until you get to Rome to rebel against PGA of America for not paying players seems a bit unnecessary. But on the other end of this argument, there is not the Masters is the only tournament on the schedule that makes more money than the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup prints money for PGA of America. The Ryder Cup prints money for NBC Sports. By the way, the broadcast has been a disaster. They go to commercials every 5 minutes, the World feed and the NBC feed. I'm watching both. Both a catastrophe, missing shots here or there. I'm shocked that for the FedEx Cup playoffs, we were getting commercial-free broadcasts. But not the Ryder Cup. No, way too much money to be made for the networks, for PGA of America, for there not to be commercials. And once again, not to say Cantlay doesn't have a point, but I do think it is ridiculous to basically accept the invitation to represent the United States on an international level, show up with the team, and then all of a sudden not participate in team activities, not participate in team communication. You know, that seems like you're asking to cost the team. Once again, Europe leads the Ryder Cup 9.5 to 2.5 through 3.5 sessions. It's looking like the Americans are going to get a couple points on the board for this Saturday afternoon four ball session. But they have a lot of work to do tomorrow in the Sunday singles to have a chance. If I'm speaking honestly, this Ryder Cup is over. There's just no chance. The issue, there's no chance that the Americans come back tomorrow. The issue is there's no American players that create their own energy. There's not we don't have the Patrick Reed this year, the Captain America. And say what you want about Patrick Reed. You know, I know that there's been some rule incidences over the years. But let me tell you something. Patrick Reed would have shown up here this week with a whole different energy. And he would not be getting steamrolled like this. And there's a couple other players, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau. This wouldn't be happening if they're on the team.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when Home Service here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, Home Serve delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to homeserve.com. That's homeserve.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.